right? We did speak about that. Morning, Jacob. We're just doing a quick review. And then there was Birkas Kohanim. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the other element was the Eish Tamid Tukad Al Mizbeach is actually the Eish that traces itself back to Yitzchak, and the Atzei Ma'aracha, the tree, the branches, the wood that's cut up, those are all traced in sources to Akedas Yitzchak. Okay. So I just wanted to begin with one source. The Gemara here in Tzvachim is dealing with the return of the Jewish people to the Beis HaMikdash, or to Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of constructing the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara in Tzvachim says the following. How is it that the Jewish people knew, where to, you know, put the Beis HaMikdash? How is it that the Jewish people knew where to put the Mizbeach? So, Bishlam Abayis Minkara Tzura. So with respect to the Beis HaMikdash, they could sort of look at the ruins of the first Beis HaMikdash and know where to put the foundations of the second one. Ela Mizbeach Mina Yadi. But how did they know where the proper location for the Mizbeach was? So I'm Rabbi Lazar. Ru'u Mizbeach Banoi U'michael Sar HaGadol Omeid U'makriv Alav. So they had an angelic vision, according to Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha Amar, this is very significant, A farosh shel Yitzchak ra'u shamunach ba'oso makom. That what do they see? In other words, what really determines the place of the Mizbeach is the Efer of Yitzchak, which is the Gemara's way of saying that the entire foundation for the structure of Kadshim writ large, not just Korban Ola, but really the entire Mizbeach, is a very powerful line of the Gemara, this really sets the stage for what I want to try to do today. There's another answer that's provided in the Gemara, but not for now. So let's just begin with what will be our major topic for today, the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Tes Zayin. So Yasid Rav Achorei de Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia Kamei de Rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was the Rebbe of Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was the Jacob. What was Rabbi Chia's great contribution? Well, Rebbe was the redacted Mishnah, but very good. So Rabbi Chia, the Tosefta. Okay, so very, very significant. And Rav, right, was just behind Rabbi Chia. Rav, right, was involved in the Sifra and the Sifrei. Very, almost all of our halachic literature goes to these three men. So Yasid Rav Achorei Rabbi Chia. Rav was in back of Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia Kamei de Rabbi. Imagine a shir, right? So in the front row, Rabbi Chia. Rav is in the second row. Yasid Rabbi V'Ka'amar. Rabbi said the following, Minayin l'shchita shehu b'talush. How do we know that shchita should be done with an implement which is detached from the ground? Talush as opposed to? What's the opposite? Very good, Simon. Mechubara, outstanding. Simon with a clean sleep this morning. Shenemar vayikach es hama'achalas l'shchot. The Torah tells us in the context of Avram Avinu that when he prepared for the Akedah, so he, one of the things that he took with him was a machalas, a knife. He didn't just rely on finding something that would be attached to the ground, like a tree branch that he could sharpen, etc., etc. So Amali Rav le Rabbi Chia, Rav, who was in the second row, couldn't really hear, so he said to Rabbi Chia, Mai Ka'amar. So what did he say? So Rabbi Chia responds somewhat disparagingly, Amale Vav Dichsiv A'ufta Ka'amar, which was a Talmudic idiom for saying he said something that's not really worth remembering. Okay, I want to explain what the idiom is. It means actually writing something on the edge of a knife. Okay, so then Rav says, no, I know he said something worthwhile. He quoted a pasuk in the Torah. V'hakra ka'amar. So the Rabbi Chia says, don't be confused. Ah, Rav, you in the second row. That pasuk is just telling you, kira zirizuse de Avraham kamash malan. The pasuk is just telling us how diligent Avram was that he prepared for all possible contingencies. And he took a machalas with him, but not that there would have been anything wrong with him relying on something mechubar. Not that there would have been anything wrong with him relying on something that he found there attached to the ground. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, this is just that last little line, Rashi, Rabbi Chia l'taimei. Rabbi Chia was obviously of the view, he disagreed with his Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he disagreed with his Rabbi, right? So he disagreed with his Rabbi in this regard. Rabbi felt that Shechita had to be done with something detached, and Rabbi Chia felt it wasn't the case. Rabbi Chia l'taimei demachshir l'el. Rabbi Chia is already on the record as stating Shechita b'mechubar is acceptable. You could do Shechita with something attached to the ground. So Kiraz Rizuse to Avram Kamash Malan, Shechosh Vinizar Shema Lo Yimtza Tsur Afilu Mechubar Behevi Imo Machalas. It wasn't a halachic consideration. Avram was simply concerned that he wouldn't find the right accessories on the spot, and as such, he wanted to prepare for all contingencies. We just turned the page. Rashi goes on. Lishna acharina, just a little bit of a different version as to what happened. Rav lo shama dvarav shel Rebbe. Rav didn't really hear what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said. Ela mikra shama yotzei mipiv. All he heard him quote was the pasuk. Velo yada al ma. Right, he didn't know what the context was. He just only heard part of the comment. V'amar le Rav lo Rabbi Chiya ma'ika amar Rebbe. So Amar Lay, so Rabbi Chiya responds, Tam hebi l'shchita shenipsla v'mechobar, umin ha-mikra. Rabbi Chiya did explain what, it wasn't like Rabbi Chiya wouldn't explain to him, but then Rabbi Chiya said, and by the way, you know, it's good that you're in Rabbi Shir, but, you know, on this point, you might want to consider a different point of view, aval eino ikar. But, you know, this is not the way that we constantly. Okay, so you have a machokus between Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rabbi Chiya, as to whether shechita can be done with a mechubar. But Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's point is that who is the paradigm for how shechita should be done? Okay, so very good. So now take a look at Tosos. Okay, so very good. So this is just talking about shechita. It could be shechita in the, you know, normal sense. And now we're not talking about the Beis Hamikdash, but even that is a topic for further research, because let's remember that the fact that shechita could be done outside of the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash is not taken for granted. It's a sugya and chulin and daf yud zayin. But suffice it to say that shechita itself, as an institution, even if you're doing it in the context of a regular animal, not in the context of Beis Hamikdash, does appear to have been, at least from a certain point of view, exported from the realm of the Beis Hamikdash. So when one talks about shechita chulin, one is always, in a certain sense, referring back to a Kachim-based institution and its origins. Well, let's take a look at Tosfos, who sharpens the issue considerably. There are three parallel Tosfos in Shas, one of the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzayin, one of the Gemara Menachos Daf Pei Beis, and one of the Gemara Zvachim Daf Tzadi Zayin, that are worth looking at in this regard. So Tosfos says the following, V'im Talmar, V'ha Ha'ikra B'Kachim Ksiv. Tosfos says, wait a minute. This pasuk about the Akedah is not a viable source to teach me something about shechita writ large. That's only talking about which kind of shechita? Very good. So Simon, what is the implicit assumption that the Balei Tosfos are making about the nature of the Akedah? That it was an actual act of kachin. And therefore, that compromises its ability to serve as a precedent in the realm of chulin. Now whether you think that conclusion is accurate, whether something that had to do with korbanos would be an improper source for chulin, okay, again, as I said, that can easily be debated, especially if one sees that chulin itself is rooted in kachim, but the assumption is what concerns me at present. In other words, the assumption made in the context of Tosos, namely that the Akedah is an example of kachim, is just stirring, right? It's not just a human sacrifice, but that, as we've been trying to prove, right, that the Balei Tosfos seem to concur that it actually is an act of kachim. It's a true korban. And as a matter of fact, the Perek Hatoda, Uvesov Perek Dam Chatas, because the Gemara Menachos, as well as the Gemara in Zvachim, as we'll take a look in a second, Nafkalan Mehacha, this very verse is cited to prove the kachim, that when it comes to Shchitas Kachim, not only do you require something detached, but you require something which is a formal vessel, to Unim Kli. Wow. So in other words, this pasuk is used to prove something in the realm of kachim. So Rabbeinu Tam tries to square the circle a little bit. Rabbeinu Tam says, "Tila'inyan talosh gamina nami achulin b'dichsev l'shchod es beno v'lo ksev l'shchod es ha'ula." So Rabbeinu Tam says, really, you can learn both. You can learn from this pasuk v'ikach Avraham es ha'machalas something in the realm of kachim, namely that a kli is required, but you can also learn something for the realm of chulin, namely that you have to at least minimally use something detached, if not a kli, because the Akedah is described not as Lishchot es Ha'ola, but rather, Jacob, Lishchot es Bino, excellent Dr. Gribbitz, and Bino might connote, right, Bino might connote something of Chulin. Now, this is a really interesting thing. So, Simon, how would you analyze Rabbeinu Tam's point of view? He may be saying one of two things. But he may be saying that, really, it's Kachim, but the fact that the Torah describes it as Bino makes it, at least, have a dimension of chulin. Alternatively, he may be rejecting the initial assumption of Tosfos and saying that, in fact, the Akedah is best described as rechulin, from which somehow we can learn something into the realm of kachim. So obviously that's what's at stake here, right? I lean towards the former point of view, that Rabbeinu Tam agrees that it's fundamentally kachim, but he's just saying that textually the Torah opens it up to teach us something rechulin, especially because my general point of view, this wasn't something I arrived at on my own. I should mention it. Rosenzweig has spoken at length about this, that Shechitas Chulin is of course based in Shechitas Kachim, and the evidence for that is highly compelling, but also not entirely for now. Now Rabbeinu Tam goes on to explain why you would learn two different things in different areas. Why would you limit the limud in Chulin to something which is talush, something that is detached, but you'd have a more ambitious limud in Kachim, that you can't only use something detached, but it has to be a formal kli. Aval kli lo shayach lemelech b'chulin ela b'kachim kishar avodos deba'u kli shares. Okay, that it has to do with context. That in Kachim, since everything requires a kli, it makes sense to suggest that the shechita will also require a kli. Umi dechsev, morning Elian, umi dechsev v'ayikach v'lo ksev v'yachin darshinan talosh b'chulin. Okay? The fact that it says Vaikach Abraham is a machalas, and this is that he prepared it, it means that he had to take something which was metalflin, something that you could hold, in other words, something detached. The fact that the Pasuk says ma'achalas, which is an actual knife, and not just something which can cut, darshinan kli b'kachin, that means it's a formal kli, and not just some kind of, what I would call, bootleg instrument. Okay, and then Tosfos goes on to say something else. Again, let me just read one parallel line here in Tosfos and Menachos, because I think that this line has a slightly different formulation for Rabbeinu Tam, but something very much in keeping with Tosfos and Chulin, but the nuance here may be suggestive. Again, at that point, Simon and I were going back and forth about, is Rabbeinu Tam actually suggesting that the Akedah is Chulin, or is all he's saying that it's really Kachim, but with a chulin dimension. So vaykachas amachalas hashta darish lehachol kachim shatalin kli. Right, the Gemara Menachos understands this pasuk to say that kachim requires a kli. V'tamed the parakam b'dechulin. Now the parallel opposite question is, if it's just really talking about kachim, how can it teach us something in Maseches Chulin about chulin? Right, mokminan leila inyan chulin daminan minayin l'shchita shehi betalish. Number vaykachas amachalas. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, dekra vaday bekachim ksiv. Right, so Rabbeinu Tam says here much more clearly that no, the pasuk is certainly teaching us something about kachim. Ela gamrina nami chulin, but we can extend it to the realm of chulin. Midechsev lishkod espino veloksev lishkod haola. The fact that the Torah doesn't say only lishkod haola, which would mean that it only has a valence in the world of kachim, but it says lishkod espino means that it could be extended out to the realm of chulin, and it's not limited to kachim, which again is eminently logical if we assume, as we do, that shechita, even in the realm of chulin, bears the legacy of shechita in kachim. Okay, so now let's take a look at the Gemara, the actual text of the Gemara, which again appears in Menachos on Pei Beis, and the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Tzadi Zayin. So Mark, why don't you take for the Gemara for us, Amr Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Lezer, Zos HaTorah. So this is the teaching in the realm of how many different kinds of korbanos are listed here. Ola, mincha, chatas, asham, miluim, zevach, shlamim.
And which are not all of them, but almost all of them.
Right, so six different types of korbanos. Right. So Shmuel has the following din. Zos ha-Torah, and then it says, Ola, mincha, chatas, asham, miluim, zevach, shlamim. By the way, anybody remember when we sing this during davening? Keli v'goali, yes, yatzvali, krasecha, haya v'hove, haya v'yiyya, kol goyad ma'asecha, Musaf, right? And shalash regalim, anytime shalash regalim, v'la soda, v'la mincha, v'la asham. So this is all, right, so that's this all right from here, okay? So, le'ola ki ola, the ola is the aptipus, ma'ola t'una kli, Av kol tuna kli, just as the karban ola requires use of a vessel, so too everything else, mincha chatas, asham, miluim, zavach shlamim, all of those require a kli. Okay? Now my kli, what do you mean by the kli? So ilay ma mizrak, if you mean the basin, bishal me tzibur na miksuv behu, that's not what we're learning from ola, because that's written explicitly in the Torah, that there's a blood receptacle. Vayikach Moshe chatzi adam, vayasim ba'agonos. So Ela, what's the kli that we say we learn about in the context of Ola, but we export to every other case? Go ahead, Mark. Okay, very good. So it's the knife. Now here is the critical part of the Gemara for our purposes. Ve'ola gufa minavan, Jacob, how do we know that when it comes to Korban Ola, one requires a knife, a kli, and not just something which is you know, used to cut, but one requires an actual formal kli. Dechsiv, go ahead, Mark. Ooh, the Torah specifies that Avram took a ma'acheles, and not just a mechatech, but something that was...
We know that is an olah.
So 3 points in this Gemara. Number one, that ma'acheles, the Akedah teaches us that Avram used a kli, and thus, every korban olah requires a kli for shechita. Okay, number one. Number two, that it's not only korban ola, but...
But it's all those six korban.
Good, right, so that kli can be exported from ola to mincha and chatas and asham and zevach hamiluim and shlamim. Meaning what? That the ola is the paradigmatic korban in certain respects, and that the basis of ola is... What would you say the basis of Ola is? As we spoke about Akedas Yitzchak. And then Ola becomes the basis of everything else, which means that in right number three here, then the syllogism becomes then the Akedah is actually the foundation of the entire structure of Korbanos in this regard, which is an amazing principle. And not only that, but that not as only the basis of the entire structure of Korbanos, but going back to the Gemara in Chulin and Daf Tzayin, the Akedah continues to have valence, even in the realm of once you've exported beyond the walls of the Mikdash to the realm of Shechitas Chulin, continues to be impacted by the Akedah. Just one half step further, let's put this back in the context of the source that we started with, the Gemara in Zavachim and Daf Samach Beis, which said that how did they know where to build the Mizbeach? Right, it's one thing, David had a Ruach HaKodesh, had a Nebuah, but when Ezra returned, how did they know where to put the Mizbeach? And right, the answer given by Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha was, a Faro Shel Yitzchak. What's that his way of saying? Right, it's all, any legitimate act on the Mizbeach has to be grounded, rooted, anchored in Akedas Yitzchak. That's an amazingly, that's just an amazing point of view about the ongoing impact of Akedas Yitzchak. I think Jacob had a question, and then Mark. Go ahead, Jacob.
No, I didn't have a question. I was just saying we have to officially hit something.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Okay. Excellent. Mark?
Is there a masara about the nature of what the sakin has to be in order to do that, in order to use it? So, for example, if you used a contraption like a guillotine to do the shechita, that by definition wouldn't be acceptable. But where's the masara that says when you use the word sakin or machalat, that it has a certain composition to it?
This is the source. This is the source. Now, we spoke a little bit yesterday about the shape that one is required to maintain that sakin in. That's learned from different places in terms of what we call pegimos and making sure that it's not, that it's, you'd have to do 12 pedikos on the sakin to make sure that it's, you know, viable. And that there aren't any dull points, but this is the basis for, you know.
But there's a platonic form of knife, or it's an instrument that does a particular.
So the Gemara, the Mishnah and Chulin has certain things that it has to be able to accomplish in terms of the sharpness with which it must cut, and that's really, I guess, where you would say we learn the technical details from in terms of what it has to be able to do in what amount of time, and you know, without tearing the kind of the Vesas. I'm sorry, the Veshet. I'm learning Hebrew right now. I guess for the technical aspects, you'd have to see the first parak in a Chulin. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Dr. Griffiths, go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I kept saying about green someplace or other.
Yeah.
And had to be a certain reed. So instead of it just being a knife, you can make it, the reed could be used as a shechita.
Well, that's what the Gemara, that's what Rabbi Chia thinks. That's my focus between Rabbi Chia and Rabbi. Rabbi Chia was saying that he thought you could use a kana, meaning a reed, that even if it's attached to the tree, right? Rabbi Chia says he thinks that's fine, as long as it's sharpened to the point where it won't be minabel, it won't cause nevela.
Yeah. It shouldn't break up. Yeah. So that it doesn't have to be.
Right, so that would be the machlokes that we started with. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi requires it to be detached. Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. So let's take a look now at a number of other aspects where the Akedah continues to impact the overall structure of Kachim and possibly even beyond. So the one other area that I wanted to try to cover today is the institution of Olas Re'ia. Okay, so Jacob, what is the mitzvah of Olas Re'ia?
That at every holiday you have a korban that that you bring to the base of mikdash, indicating your presence or that you have been seen at the base of mikdash.
Right. Very good. So the makor for that mitzvah is? Very good, Simon. Just saying, Shalosh Pamim Bashana Yiro'eh Kol Zechur Chas Penei Hashem Elkecha. So what is the difference, Mark, between Yiro'eh and Yireh? Shalosh Pamim Bashana Yiro'eh. Not Yireh Kol Zechur Chas, but Yiro'eh. What's the grammatical difference between those two? Shalosh Pamim Bashana Yiro'eh Kol Zechur Chas, the pasuk that Simon is rightly citing as the basis. Okay, good. So what, but
Yireh
would mean Shalosh Pamim Pamim Bashana Yireh.
You'll see.
Right. So you would have to see.
You will be
seen. Yireh is you will be seen. Right? Very good. You're seen by Hashem. Now what's interesting is it's spelled what we say Ksiv Yireh, Kri Yireh. So this is a very fascinating thing. Right, as if to say, right, that it's actually moving in both directions. The Kri indicates that you will be seen. The Ksiv indicates that you will see. Again, in the context of a carbon. So where does all this trace back to? Obviously, we had this. Go ahead, Jacob. What does this remind you of in the context of our limud? Vayikra Abraham. Shema makom ahu. Hashem. Hashem yir'eh. Asher yi'amir hayom. Behar Hashem, Yeh-ra-eh. Yeh-ra-eh, Yeh-ra-eh. So there's an amazing Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin that I just want to build up to. Just keep that in mind, is that, and Jacob, what's compelling me to raise this? Why am I, again, and I agree, the previous part of this year, I'm just, you know, quoting Rabbeinu the Tam and the Baal HaYetosis. This part, I'm going out a little bit more in my own direction, but why am I so convinced of this? I mean, just based on the simple reading of the Akedah, why do I think that Olas Re'ia is such a powerful extension of the Akedah? Because, I mean, what was Avram told? He was told to walk up to the Beis HaMikdash with a Karvan Ola. Right? I mean, it's not much of a stretch, right? And so now we, right, in a lot of ways, I think we're meant to walk in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu. Now, what's really fascinating about this is the following, is that it seems to me that there's actually evidence in Chazal, beyond just the logical compelling evidence. So take a look at the Bereishis Rabbah, it's the seventh source. Milamed Shehir Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beis HaMikdash, it's a beautiful line, that God gave Avraham a vision of Jewish history. Shehir lo kadosh baruch hu beis hamikdash charev banui. Showed him the entire history. That the beis hamikdash would be destroyed, Babel, banui, Ezra and Nehemiah, charev, the Romans, and la'asilavo banui. Shenemar shema makoma hu Hashem yir'eh, Hashem will see on this place, charev banui. How do we know that Hashem Yireh indicates that the Beis HaMikdash is functioning? Da'at Amar, Shalosh Pamim Bashana, Yireh. Now the pasuk goes on to say, Asher Yemer Ayom Behar Hashem. Har Hashem indicates that, sadly, Harei Chareb, Shenemar Al Har Tzion Sheshameim, pasuk in Eicha. But then the pasuk says, Asher Yemer Ayom Behar Hashem, Yireh, again, will be seen, Banui, Umishuchlal la'asid lavo, built and readied in the future. Kinyan shenemar ki bano Hashem tzion nira bichvodo. So again, what's really fascinating here is based on this pasuk of yireh yeira'eh, right? Then the Medrash Rabba connects that to which concept of shalosh pamim bashana yeira'eh, right? There's this like reference here. You could miss it. But somehow, right, they saw this as Aliyah L'Regel connected to, being alluded to in this pasuk of Hashem Yireh Yireh. Okay, fine, but that's just obviously an agadic source. That doesn't prove anything in halacha. Doesn't have anything to stand on just yet. However, take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Daled. Now, I admit, I'm interpreting the Gemara according to interpretation, not of Rashi, who looks at it differently, but of the Ramah, who's one of the most important Rishonim on Masechah Sanhedrin, of Abbasra as well. So the Gemara says here the following. Tanya Yochanan ben Dehavai Omer, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Daled, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, Hasuma Be'achas Me'enov, if a person is blinded in one eye, Potter min Ariya, Jacob, he's Potter from the midst of Olas Ri'iyah. Shanemar, how do I know this? Which pasuk do I learn this halacha from? The pasuk of Akedas Yitzchak. Vayikra Avraham Shem Malkom Ahu Hashem Yireh Asher Yamer Hayom Har Hashem Yireh. Yireh Yireh. Kederech Sheba Liraos Kach Ba Liraos. Ma Liraos, how is sight normally achieved? Bishtei Einav, with two eyes. So too, one who appears before God, is seen by God. And Mikdash has to have two functioning eyes, af le'ra'os bishteinav, meaning le'halacha, Jacob, the halachos of Olas Re'iyah are controlled by which precedent? The Akedah. Now I just want to conclude with one, to me it's a tantalizing possibility. Again, I have not seen this anywhere. If anybody finds some, you know, previous authority who said this, I will, you know, be thrilled. But this is I've always had the following idea about this issue, about the Akedah actually being the basis for the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So the question is, you know, from what age mark would you say a person is chayev yireh kol zechurcha? From what age on the Torah level is a person chayev for the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel?
Bar
mitzvah. Okay, good. So, okay, take care, Jacob. Enjoy.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. So now the question, you know, that we always face is, you know, when do we want to be mechanech children to a particular mitzvah? Okay, so, you know, what might you say? What are the two basic options, conceptually, in terms of thinking about this, Simon? Well, just to think about it from a structural point of view, and I'll give you hints.
Either bar mitzvah, which is a gate.
Well, let's assume that you're going to do it at some previous time, too.
At the time when the child is cognizant enough to have understanding.
Okay, so that would be option A, is that we find some kind of a generic point of what we can say, katan shehigi aluchinuch. Okay, so Dr. Ribbitz is an expert, he's a pediatrician, he'd be able to tell us when he thinks a child, you know, when he thinks a child is mature enough to understand things, and of course some children never, right, reach that. Some adults, you know, continue in what Kant would have called their nonage. Okay, there's another way of looking at it, which is to not look for one generic solution, but Simon, now structurally, but now you'll see what I was saying.
According to the child's...
So either according to the child's abilities or according to the child's abilities in that area. So just to give an example, let's say, when it comes to tefillin, we're concerned about people desecrating tefillin, so our minhag is to do it like a month before. But Chazal spoke about katan hayodea lishmoras tefillah. I don't know if you could take care of tefillin. Right, and for tzitzis, a kid who can get dressed. I don't know, right, because tzitzis is... So you might want to think about it specific to the area instead of having one general solution. So that is a very strong current within Chazal. Again, we're talking about a din d'rabbanan. We're talking about, you know, how to educate a child. So, what would you say in terms of Aliyah L'Regel? He goes on hiking trips. You know, it's a fascinating question. So it's actually a machlokas. There's not an agreement about this. A machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. But watch what Beis Hillel says. So I'm obviously very excited about the position of Beis Hillel here, and you'll see why in just a minute. Okay, so Mark, why don't you read this Mishnah in Chagiga for us, the first Mishnah of Masechas Chagiga, HaKol Chayav in Bir'iyah, everybody's obligated in the midst of Riyah, meaning every male,
Eze,
including, you know, on the rabbinic level, Katan. Ezehu Katan.
Kol She'en Yachol L'Yachol Al Kitafav Shel Aviv L'Alot Mirushalayim L'Har Habayit Divei Beit Shammai.
So Beit Shammai says, is that, look, if the kid can't, you know, sit on his father's shoulders, and, you know, ride up the mountain, so then he's Pater. But as long as he can sit on his father's shoulders and, you know, be walked up the mountain by his father, he's not walking, right? Everybody knows that sometimes, Dr. Gribbetz, you know this very well, when a kid says sometimes kvetch, if they're forced to walk, right? So they say, I can't do it, it's too far, they throw a temper tantrum, they collapse on the ground. You know, nowadays, all you can do, you can't even give them a punch to try to get them to move, right? You certainly can't do it with a branch if you're a football player, right? So in the good old days, you could give them a punch to go. Now, I think at best, right, you have to try to get a resolution in the United Nations, a General Assembly resolution that the child should move, the child should be encouraged to move. But be that as it may, Mark, how old do you think Max was when he would be able to ride up on your shoulders?
But there's an irony to that, what you'll point out. What you're establishing is that there's a period of time let's pick an age, let's say from 2 to 4, 2 to 5, and then he's too big to sit on your shoulders, but he's still not a good adult.
Yeah. Well, but again, he's not to be got. But again, from that point on, you know, Beis Shammai is saying, let him walk. But
so
he's count.
From, okay.
So Beis Shammai is saying, as soon as he's old enough, how old do you think Max was when he could have ridden on your shoulders up the mountain? Okay, very young. So Beis Shammai says, get the little boys out there. You know, okay, we understand they won't be able to walk up the mountain, but who cares, right? Just get them up the mountain. You know, who knows, maybe Beis Shammai today would say, you know, if you had a cable car, whatever it is, just get them up the mountain. Who cares? Okay, Beis Hillel, go ahead, Mark. Beis Hillel disagree.
You can't hold his hand, shall Aviv, will I love Yerushalayim, Maharabayit, Shnei Mar, Shalash, Shalash.
So what?
Because
what,
he focuses on the word regel.
So, right.
Basically,
exactly.
The child has to be able to be mobile.
The only, right, it's only worth something, Beis Hillel says, if the kid can walk himself. Holding his father's hand, but the kid can walk himself. So again, you wouldn't make anything of that in a vacuum. You would just say, yeah, because it's like exactly what Mark said. All it means is that Beis Hillel says, if it's not Aliyah L'Regel, who cares? What are you teaching him, right? There's no chinuch value in riding him on the shoulders. Okay, so that's the way most people think about this. Right, but Simon, what might one say? Vayelchu Shneihem Yachdav is in the background here, and that, right, that part of the model is a father and a son going up a mountain together, each one walking, right? So if you assume that there's a valence of Akedas Yitzchak, even in the halachos of Aliyah L'Regel, which, by the way, I didn't come up with that idea myself, that agreed to the Gemara and Sanhedrin, according to the Ramah says, and Daf Dalet, and certainly the Medrash, right, links the two, Aliyah L'Regel and Akedas Yitzchak. So there's an argument to be made that part of, you know, the background. Again, I haven't seen anybody say this. This is just, you know, my speculation. So, you know, you are not, you know, to be an observant, you know, committed Jew, one need not accept, you know, my ideas about Beis Hillel's position about Aliyah L'Regel, far from it. But it strikes me that there's a Vayelchu Shneihem Yachdav legacy here. Okay, so Gabul, what we're going to take a look at next week is, remember, I keep on harping on this point, that the ayil bears the imprint. The ayil is like forever Temuras Yitzchak. So if this is correct, if the theory is correct, so then I should be able to adduce some evidence that any time an ayil is prescribed, it you know, sort of bears the hallmark of the Akedah is meant to channel the Akedah, much like, you know, whenever you have a par in Avoda, Chazal always comments, keneged egel hazav, v'chaper al egel hazav, etc. So what I want to talk about is the role of the ayil, and what I'm going to try to suggest, my thesis going forward will be, is that elim in Mikdash channel some of the experience of the Akedah, much as Ola does. I think we've already proven that, but to go one step further with this line of analysis. Okay, so we'll hold it up there.